Look, let's turn to God's Word together and to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as we do this, what I want to do is, you'll see on the screen, there'll be some overheads will come up. And as we do this, the verses aren't there, so it's really good if you can bring your Bibles along and just keep and follow along with me through this. And I'm going to try and keep an eye on the clock, because what we want to do is spend some time in worship afterwards, if we can do that. So forgive me if I go on. Well, actually, someone shoot me if I go on, and then we can get on to the, the worship afterwards. It's thank you, Deborah. 1 Corinthians 12. We're going through this series, which we've called, actually, if you go back to the previous overhead, sorry, you're spot on, Brett, but what we've got is this series which we call Vital Signs of a Vital Church, and we just want to look at what church should be. We've moved into a different building. It's not a church building. We're kind of, God's adding to our number, and so actually things are changing all the time. I do feel sorry for those of you who were here before I came, by the way, because, the church was very, very different then, wasn't it? And actually, God is just constantly adding people to the fellowship all the time, and so it's changing all the time, and so you probably feel a bit like a fish out of water, and so we know that not only those who are coming in, but also those who've been here for many years will just feel kind of this is all different, and it's constantly different all the time. Actually, that's a good thing, because God's church is always going forward. That's what God's kingdom is about. It's not about staying stationary. It's about going where God wants us to go. And so it's a good thing. It's an appropriate thing. But it is difficult. And it's difficult for us just to get our mind on what is church and what is church all about. And so that's what this series is all about. Look, I wonder if you, when you get up in the morning, do you ever stand in front of a mirror and kind of look at yourself? Maybe you don't have time to do that. Maybe you're rushing off. Maybe you don't want to remember the experience because it's just so horrifically bad. But you stand at yourself and you kind of think, oh dear, and then off you go, and you're away. It's especially after Christmas. I'm still working my way through the Christmas chocolates. Thank you, by the way, for folk who are very generous and gave me chocolate. I really appreciate it. My body doesn't, but never mind. I'm working. I'm getting towards the end of them, and then I'll start to get fit after that. I haven't even bothered starting to run. There's just no point at the moment. I will do that whenever the chocolate's gone. But anyway, we look at ourselves, and we look at ourselves in the mirror, and we kind of think, well, oh dear. But actually, when you look at your body, it is a remarkable, remarkable thing. Have you ever thought how complex your body is? And how amazingly it's put together? You're just a masterpiece of design. So try that tomorrow morning. Try standing in front of the mirror and going, I'm a masterpiece of design. You'll feel better about yourself, if nothing else, for the rest of the day. But you are. You're a masterpiece of design. And actually, we only really notice how fundamentally the parts of our body are to what we do when something starts to go wrong with our body. If you ever got up, you've been all night, you've been asleep, and you get up and your arm's gone dead. You've got this arm which is kind of flapping around, and you're thinking, come on, get you can't pick up anything. Everything you try to pick up just falls out of your hand. And, it's hugely, not just inconvenient, it's annoying. Or worst of all, is if you get a dead leg, and you kind of spring out of bed in the morning, as you always, I know, do, and you go to stand, and you kind of collapse and fall on the floor because your leg's not working. And then you realize how fundamental these parts of your body are. And in this series on the church, we want to look at actually how fundamental we all are in the life of the church. And really, that's what this is about today. So it is called Every Member of Ministry. This is what the church is about. It's about a body of God's people who have been brought together. And so it says in this passage, look at verse 12, and I'm going linearly through this, so you'll get it very easily. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. It's talking about the body. Now, Paul has lots of different illustrations about the church. So he talks about the church, for example, as a temple where there's lots of stones and it's all built together for the Lord. He talks about the temple, the church, as a bride. It's the bride of Christ. It's being beautified for that day when it's presented gloriously before the Lord. He talks about the church like an army or soldiers who are going forward fighting together for him. He's got all these wonderful pictures, and all of them are about the unity of the body. The unity of the temple, the stones which go to make the one temple, the unity of the army, the soldiers which make up the army, that we are together, the bride of Christ, made beautiful for him. But the one he uses most is this illustration, the illustration of the body. And actually, why does he do that? Well, it's very easy to see why he does it, because if those of you who are parents know that one of the first things you say to your young children when they're just babies and you're starting to appreciate the world is you start to talk, they're kind of touching their nose, and you go, nose, say nose, and then they go, ear, say ear, no ear. And then, you know, you kind of work your way through, and you learn about the parts of your body. So it's an easy illustration, isn't it, to get to. And this is what Paul is doing. He's getting to us about an illustration that we understand. And it's a familiar illustration to us. But also, it's a wonderful illustration because actually, as I said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, aren't we? And it doesn't matter what you think about your body, and it doesn't matter how much flab is actually hanging off it. Actually, you're still fearfully and wonderfully made. For many years, as you know, I was a computer science lecturer, and one of the areas of research I was involved in was in robotics and the robotics lab in Bristol. And one of the things, one of the most difficult tasks you could get for a robot is to have a robot which actually picked things up with the dexterity that humans did. And it's still an impossible task. We still can't do it. There's still, even today, after what, 50 years of robotics research, we cannot do it well because there's so many things that have to go together. Eye-hand coordination, you've heard the term. You know, that is actually incredibly difficult. Trying to work out where an object is, what an object is, how it should be best picked up is incredibly difficult. Trying to work out how the object, when it's turned around, the orientation has changed. It looks entirely different to a visual system. So is it a different object? Is it the same object? Do you treat it like you treat this object, other object? It's very hard. And then when you grasp it, you know, the classic thing with robots, it's all in all the science fiction films, is when you grasp something, the thing breaks because it's using too much power. Well, so how do you grasp it with just the amount, right amount of power to pick up an egg or an orange compared to a saucepan? How do you do it? How do you know how much weight it's going to be? How do you adjust to it? How does your body adjust to the weight you're picking up? It is incredibly complex. And so the body, which is so able to do these complex and simple things simply, and we don't even think about how complex they are, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And can I just say that this verse, verse 12, tells us that the church is just the same. God makes the church in such a way that it's fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is wonderful, actually, because, you know, we look at the church and we think of all the weaknesses and all the things which we don't like and the things we don't want. And it's a bit like us standing in front of the mirror kind of going, ugh. You know? And yet, God says, his church is like a body. It's got lots of parts. They're all working together. And it's wonderfully how those things work together. But when things don't work, then there are big problems. I had a colleague at when I was working in Bristol, and he used to go running every single day, and he would run for about 15 miles on the roads around him every day. He lives down in Taunton, actually. And he started getting back trouble. And he came in, and he used to really complain about the back trouble. Now, I know some of you have got back trouble now with these chairs. I'm really sorry. You can shuffle around a bit now if you want to while I'm talking. I'm quite happy with that. I know the chairs are bad. But he started getting back trouble. And he couldn't work out what it was. So he went to the doctor. The doctor couldn't work out what it was. Gave him all sorts of treatment and various other things. And anyway, the back trouble then became, he started having shooting pains down his legs. And what was that about? Couldn't figure out what it was about. And eventually, he got pains in his feet. He went into a foot specialist, and they said, the foot specialist said, I know what all of your problems are. You've actually got collapsed insoles in your feet. And so you're not walking properly, and because you're not walking properly, it's causing pain up your leg, it's causing your back, your muscles to tense up, and so you're getting back pain as well. And in fact, your whole body is being affected just because one part of your body is not working properly because you've got collapsed insoles. Whoever thought that the gap in your foot actually was important? I don't know. He didn't know. But actually, because that one little part wasn't working, the whole body was affected. Look, this passage tells us that if one little part in the church, in the body of God's people, is not working as it ought, the whole of the body is affected in exactly the same way. We're disabled. And so it's really important that we see not only that the body of Christ, the church, is important, but actually that we are important in the church. And that we play our part in the church. Now, can I just say before I go on that the people I'm talking to this morning are primarily those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you come along this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you haven't come to that point in your life where you've just realized that actually you're wrong before God. It doesn't matter how nice you are, you're wrong before God. And you can never be made right before God. But Jesus came to die for you. He took the punishment of your sin upon him and he died in your place. So that you can come to him and just say, Lord, forgive me for all I've done. I want to follow your way the rest of my life. I want to be your child. I want to be part of this body, which is the church. At that point, you become a Christian. And until that point, it doesn't matter how many meetings you come along to, you are never part of his church. So you need to, first of all, stop and just say, actually, do I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? I was listening to a testimony just yesterday morning of a girl from the church who's coming up for membership, and she said she came along to church for many, many years because her friends brought her along, and because she really appreciated the kind of family feel of the church and the way that people loved her. And yet, there was one day when she went across along to a Christian event, and she was involved in that, where she suddenly realized that despite all those years, that she wasn't actually really a Christian, and she needed to do something about it. And that evening, she asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive her and to come into her life. And maybe that's you this morning. If that's you, forget about everything else I'm going to say, because it's not relevant to you yet. You need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Will you do that this morning? Will you do that? Oh, please, it's the most important thing. Okay, so let's look at what the passage says, and time's running away with me. First of all, I want to say that we're one in him. We're one in him in verse 12 to 13. Though all its parts are many, they form one body. Now, get this. This is the assumption that there is one body, there's not many bodies. There's one body, not many bodies. Instead, Paul constantly uses, in all his pictures, this idea, there's one temple, you're different blocks in the temple. Okay? There's one bride, you're all part of God's church. There is one army, there is one body. It's constant, you know, there's one God, there's one Holy Spirit, you're one people. He's constant. Actually, it's all one in Christ. And so we're one body. And God, kind of going through his word, almost constantly comes out through the New Testament with his highlighter pen. It's mentioned so many times over that you are one in Christ. There's one body. And it's not just the universal church. In other words, if we're all Christians, if we're believers, that there's a relationship between us. I was speaking last Sunday morning over in Kent, and it was lovely to be able to speak there. I came among God's people, and I felt a part of God's people straight away. And it wasn't just because they were hyper-friendly. It's because we've got something in common. There's one Spirit. We're all part of one body, the universal church. But it's also about the local church. So if you were to see where God writes these things to about the oneness of the body, Ephesians chapter 3, I'm not going to turn you to it. For example, he tells them that there's no more Jews and Gentiles, but you're one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's talking to the Ephesians in the Ephesian church. And here we're talking to the Corinthians in the Corinthian church who were trying to divide. And he's saying, no, you've got it wrong. God has united you as one body. And so it's about God's local church as well. We are one body for him in the local church. In fact, the local church should be the picture to the world of what the universal church is like, what one day we will be when we eventually get to heaven where there are no more Baptists or Brethren or Presbyterian. In fact, we're all one in Christ. Okay, it's looking forward, and that's how people should look at us and see it. And praise God that actually if people do come and look at Street Baptist, they will see that, because God's brought us together from so many different backgrounds. Oh, but do people see how the church really ought to be in us? Are we really the people who are the church? The body is a unit, it says. The body is a unit, and we're to be united, not in our preferences, not in our way, not in what we want, but we're to be united in him. Now, it makes sense, doesn't it? Actually, if we're all one in Christ, because it finishes verse 12, doesn't it? It says, so it is with Christ, we are in Christ. If we are all one in Christ, then we shouldn't be going in lots of different directions, should we? You wouldn't get up in the morning and walk down the road and expect to suddenly see somebody walking in front of you whose legs decide to go one direction and whose top decides to go the other direction, kind of walking along in its hands because one of them wants to shop in Gap and the other part wants to shop in, I don't know, White Stuff or something like that. You don't see it, do you? You'd be amazed if you did, and slightly queasy probably as a result. And actually, there's something strange about it if a body kind of goes in many different directions. I remember once I was doing a beach missions, and we were all relatively young lads there, and young lads and girls, and this car came up. It was stuffed full of people who were coming to do the beach missions, and we came into the church hall area, and they drove in, and I was at the gate. I had been asked to welcome the newcomers who came along, and I drove in the car, and as the car went over the kind of ramp or the curb just by the gate, the back axle fell off the car. Now, it was a front-wheel drive car, so the front of the car went on, and the wheels were left behind. Well, of course, it was incredibly funny. Well, it was for me. It was for everybody else watching. It wasn't for the owner of the car, it has to be said, who was rather concerned about it, because there's nothing you could do about it. But you see, the whole point was, it's not supposed to happen. The car is a unit. It goes together as one. And so if it goes in different directions, there's something wrong about it. You see, and this has big implications. If we are one in Christ, then we are to be a unit in Christ. We don't go off in different directions. So in the church, there can be no single-issue voters. You know, you don't come along with, this is my issue, this is what I'm going to push, this is what I think is the most important thing, and I'm going to bang on this drum until everybody listens to me and does exactly what I want them to do. It is not about that, because we're here in Christ. We're here in Christ. If we really take this to heart, then there can be no church drifters. We can't drift between churches because we're one body. We don't go to where things kind of appeal to us, where things seem convenient, because we're one body. God binds us to his people in one place. And so we give ourselves in covenant commitment to God's people in that place that he puts us in. And we can't be isolationist. You know, we can't come along and thinking, well, I'm coming here this morning for what I want, and I don't want to speak to anybody else, and I'm going to go as quickly as I possibly can because it's all about me. Because actually, no, you're part of one body. And just as it's totally unnatural for that car to leave its back axle behind, so it should be totally unnatural for us to come into the church and to behave as though we were not part of the body. We are one unit in Christ Jesus. And God underlines it, doesn't he, in verse 13. We were all baptized with one spirit into one body, and we're all given that one spirit to drink. What, you're a believer. What happens when you become a believer? The moment you become a believer, God floods you with his Holy Spirit. You are indwelt by the Spirit. That's why it says when two or three of you are gathered together, there am I in the midst. Why? Because each of you has his Spirit. Here we go from spiritual death to spiritual life. What is the only thing that brings spiritual life? It's God's Spirit. God's Spirit is the one, we are told, who guarantees our inheritance to come. And so when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, you are possessed, you are dwelt, indwelt by the Spirit. And if there is only one Spirit, then all our being should be about one thing. It should be about Jesus. Oh, I love him. I'm passionate for him. My life is committed to him. It's all about him. I'm going to go the way that Jesus wants me to go. That's what it's about. I did a Bible study on Tuesday with our little home group, and we were looking back at Acts chapter 2. And constantly in that passage in Acts chapter 2, which we did two weeks ago here, where it talks about the first early church, it uses a word three times over, and the word is simply the word together. And I looked at the Greek of it just because I'm like that, and kind of a bit nerdy, and in the Greek in it, it's got two words for together. It's epi and autos, or autos, epi and autos, and the word epi means to superimpose over, and the word autos or autos means it's what's called a reflexive possessive. If you're into English, then you know that's kind of, well, the idea is there, isn't it? You're looking at yourself. It's the self, but it's a very, very personal self. So what does this word together mean? It means to superimpose yourself over other people so they become like yourself. So when we talk about coming together, when we talk about coming together as a church, what are we thinking about? Well, the Bible is thinking about coming together in such an intimate way that we superimpose ourselves over one another. Not that you're forcing yourself on somebody else, but you become so close that we understand, that we know each other, that we're able to pray for each other, that we're concerned for each other, that we want to see each other grow in the Lord, that we want to be there to pray with each other as we're going through difficult times, that we want to weep with those who weep, we want to rejoice with those who rejoice, that there is a superimposing of yourself over one another. And God highlights it three times over, together, together, together. He wants us to get this. That is what we're about. Can I ask you, is that what you are about in this church? There is a film that came out a while back, and it was called 127 Hours. I don't know if you saw it, you will remember it graphically. It's about a man who was going hiking in the wilderness of America, and he fell into a crevice, and a stone fell on his arm, and he could not move himself from it. And there was no help was going to come, and so he had to make the decision. He had a penknife that he could get hold of. Would he take his arm off to go survive, or would he not? Loads of people went to see the film. I couldn't bring myself to see it, I have to say. I really just, you know, to think of sitting there watching someone hacking his arm off just didn't appeal to me as an entertainment experience, has to be said. But loads of people went there. Why did lots of people go there? Well, because we cannot imagine doing that to ourselves, could we? Even if it meant our whole life, we couldn't imagine doing it to ourselves. And that is the kind of closeness that God is talking about in his word. You are one body. You're one body. And so you shouldn't be thinking about, well, if that person would just leave the church, my life would be great. You're hacking your arm off. It should be that close. Are you one in Christ? So can I just ask, you know, the devil will do everything he possibly can to divide. Because the unity of the church is a sign of what God wants us to be, real humanity. God has put his spirit in us, and he's given us a new humanity as we ought to be, back to Eden when we walked with one another and we walked with the Lord. That's what he wants. And he will do anything to divide. So look, is our view of church like that? We are one. Well, actually, if you struggle with that, second point, hopefully help, because I want to say that we're united in him. It says that unity is natural in Christ. We just said that we've had our spirit and his spirit, and so we should be one. But there's something that's also incredible about this, isn't there? Verse 13, for we are all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we're given one spirit to drink. Now, this is really interesting because, you see, there were divisions among them. There were those who were Jews who thought they had had God's word for centuries. They were God's chosen people. We are the best. There were the Greeks who thought, well, we've had the philosophy. We've had the intellect. We can read you under the table. We're the best. And so you had this kind of intellectual and religious and national divide. Now, I did ask who are the Welsh and who are the English and all the rest of you in here, and it was lovely to do that. But actually, the whole point is God's church is beyond those divisions. It unites us beyond those divisions. And so, actually, we should be able to worship with the Polish. Polish folk in the corner, I hope you can understand me today. I'm really sorry I speak too fast, I know. But it's just lovely to have you among us. That is what the church should be about. And if you haven't gone and spoken to our Polish brothers and sisters, well, make it your mission to do so. You'd be so blessed by doing it. If you haven't spoken to the Welsh, I fully understand, but make it your mission to do so. Okay? Julia. But because we're part of, because we are united, it's beyond all that. It's beyond all that. And how is it beyond all that? Well, it's beyond all that because he's given us his spirit. That's the point. The point is, it's actually all about Jesus. Now, as I said, the devil will come in and he will divide us. So that person who's sitting next to you now, you know, who's got the irritating cough and you wish to just go and get a glass of water, you know, the devil will divide. You know, who's got the wrong cologne or perfume on. And you just think, how did they ever buy that? You know, the devil will divide, you know. The person who's fidgeting next to you, you're thinking, oh, come on, I'm just trying to listen. Or is not fidgeting next to you, and you're thinking, oh, come on, just let me fidget. I'm feeling really uncomfortable now. You know, the devil will divide. But you see, the point is that God's spirit is the one who binds us. He's over these things. He's beyond these things. And so what we've got to do, our natural self, our flesh life, you see, wants to divide. It wants to pull us apart because that's what sinful nature does. We go into our houses and we pull the drawbridge up at night. We watch TV. We don't have to interact with anybody else. We're our own little kingdoms and we're very happy with that. That's what sinful nature does. But what God's Spirit does is draw us together. Now, the wonderful thing is God has given us his Spirit. His Spirit is the one who joins. So if you are struggling with the person's cologne next to you, first of all, buy a peg. Secondly, actually, just pray to the Lord. Just say, Lord, help me to love them, because you love them so much that you sent your son to die for them. And if you did that, how can I judge them in any other way? Help me to love them as you love them. What is the Spirit's work? What is the Spirit's work? The Spirit's work is to give us that new humanity, to build a new church. This is a church I talked about in Swansea, and it's my brother-in-law is the pastor of the church. But the wonderful thing is, when I go there, they've got this group and who got together during the Iran-Iraq war, and they were Muslims who had become Christians during that period of time, and they've gone on since. And they are both from Iran and from Iraq, from these two nations, and they meet together, and they worship together, and they love one another. And it doesn't, you know, many of them have got family members who have been injured or killed or whatever by others who are, not by others in the fellowship, but by relatives of others in the fellowship. And yet God's love overrides it all. That's his church. That's his church. And if you're sitting here this morning thinking, well, I can go and have my own little church and I can just come and go again, you have got it 100% wrong. And we need to get with what God is saying here. His Spirit binds you. If you are dividing, you're actually walking against the will of God, the work of the Spirit in your heart. It is that simple. And so what do we need? Well, of course, what we do need is just to come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. We're all done this. We're all foolish, aren't we? Lord, I thank you for giving me your Spirit. Help me to love like Jesus. And I thank you that you give me the power to do so because your Spirit is at work in me. We need to be honest, don't we, before the Lord. We need to realize the reality of our heart. Well, we're united by him. Thirdly, we're valuable to him. So the church is one body, one in him, united by his spirit in us. But notice this, and this is amazing, that what God does not do is doesn't make us all alike. Oh, he makes us like Jesus. That's the most important thing. It's all about Jesus. But he doesn't make us all alike. We all come from different backgrounds. We all look different. We all have different skills and gifts. And God uses that so that just like a body, we all do different things and we can all come together. And together we can do far more than we can do individually. Now, we all need every part of the body. Have you ever tried walking? The point, you must have tried walking because you're here, so forget that question. But have you ever thought about how you walk? Because when you walk, you think, oh yeah, I need my legs and my feet to walk. It's pretty obvious, I need legs and feet to walk. Well, actually, no, you need a lot more than that. Close your eyes as you're walking. You need rather more than that. Actually, if you've ever had an ear infection which made you feel really dizzy, okay, you need your ears to walk because your ears give you balance. You need your mind to walk because your mind tells you, actually it tells your legs what to do, but also tells you where you're going, gives you your you even need your arms and your hands to walk. Have you ever tried walking, kind of keeping your hands like, it's the most unnatural thing possible. You can't, why? Because they're part of the balance of the body. You need all these things to walk. And this is what the body is about. And so you see, you need the lot. That's the point. You need diversity. And what God does in amazing ways, he brings a diverse set of people together, and he makes us wonderful to him. You know, in the church, everyone is different. And that is a really good thing. Not everybody is like Alwyn. Now, I'm expecting the loudest amen of the morning there, okay? So don't be shy. Not everybody is like Alwyn. Amen. Okay? Because, well, actually, wouldn't this be a dreadful place if it was? You know, I'm actually naturally quite a depressive. Anne kind of keeps me sane. You know, we'd have the most miserable services ever if everyone was like Alwyn. And that's good. You know, I can play a bit of music, but my goodness, you wouldn't want to stay here if I tried for it. You know, you really wouldn't, because not everyone's like Alwyn. That's great. Not everyone's like Sean. You know, you look at Sean and you think, well, Sean could run a church himself. He nearly does, actually. Sean needs a lot of help with the things he does. Not everybody's like Sean. Amen. Sorry, Sean. Not everybody's like Sean. Not everybody is like, you know, you look at Andrew sometimes and you can say, sorry, Andrew, I'm going to pick you out. I know you'll hate me for it. But you see how he plays the instruments there, and he's just amazing. I don't know if you've ever kind of just ask Andrew to kind of let himself loose on the guitar, and you actually see kind of how skillful he really is. He kind of holds himself back a bit, I think, sometimes in the church, but it's just incredible. And many other musicians as well, and I'm not just picking on Andrew, but, you know, we can look at them and we can think, oh, I could never do that. Oh, I'm not like that. I'm no good. Because I'm not an Andrew. And I could pick out people all around here, and I could say, you know, we can do that. We have this inferiority complex, don't we? Well, I'm not like them, so I mustn't be any use in the church. I'm actually quite shy, so how can God use me? And we feel like that. You know, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, I think the devil uses every little bit of weakness he can to stop us being effective in the church. And so we look at other people, and we think, well, I can't do that. Now, actually, I have to tell you a little secret. If I'm not preaching, and Derek, having been a pastor for so many years, you're so gracious, and Phil as well, because if I'm not preaching and somebody else is preaching, I'm kind of always thinking, oh, he missed that point. Oh, he should have done that. He hasn't been as effective in that as he. And I want to get up and kind of drag them down and start preaching myself, you know. And so if we had a room full of Alwyns, it would be a total disaster, because actually, we just wouldn't get anywhere, because I really want to do it myself. And we all do things in different ways. That's why it's great having Matt here, you know, because Matt preaches in a different way. Some of you will be able to, all of you will be able to understand Matt better than they can understand me. That's just universal. But it's just a different way of doing it. And God is good in giving his different gifts to the church. But here's the gotcha, you see. It says, if the foot, verse 15, should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. See, that's the inferiority complex. I'm not as good as a hand. A hand is great. It does lots of things. You know, I'm only an arm. What can I do? I can reach out and that's it. I haven't got much gift. I'll tell you what, I'll not bother working. If your arm does not bother working, your hand is not a lot of use. That's the reality, isn't it? And yet that's how we feel. The devil comes in. And what happens? Well, actually, what happens is the whole body is disabled. The Orams, where's Sam? Sam's over there. The Orams have a dog. We have many dogs. But one of the dogs had an injury on his foot for a while. And so the dog was only able to use 3 feet, and so used 3 feet. But the dog's foot got better. And what it then did is it decided that because it only ever been running on 3 feet, it would continue to run on 3 feet. And so it would drag this perfectly good leg behind it. Now if you go to the Orem's house and you see this dog, in spite of all efforts to tie its other legs up and all sorts of things to get it to use this leg, it's still got a withered leg which it drags behind it. The leg is perfectly good, but it's just no contribution to the body. If we are not being used in Christ, you might be perfectly good, but you are disabling the body of Christ. And we need to know that. It is that serious. And so, verse 17, you say stupid dog, don't you? Stupid dog. But look, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Look, this is the truth. We need each one that God has put here. God, verse 18, look at verse 18, it's really important. God arranged the parts of the body, every one of them. Okay, let me rephrase that. God arranged the parts of the body, you too, you too. Don't look around at everybody else thinking, yeah, they need to hear this. Okay, me too. Just as he wanted them to be. He put you in this church because he wants to be one body and you are part of his purpose in this church. Have you ever thought like that? Or have you always thought, well, I'm no use. Sean can do it all. Richard can do all the admin. He put you here because you're a part of his purposes. So you're quiet? That's fine. He's put you here because he wants to use your quietness. He wants you to draw alongside other people who are frightened to come to an Alwyn who stands up front and jumps up and down and makes stupid comments. He wants you to draw alongside others. You brash? That's great. We need people who will be up front. We need people welcoming folk. We need folk involved in going around and visiting people. Are you very emotional? Yes. Are you bold? Yes. Are you nervous? Yes. Well, it doesn't matter what you are. What it does matter is that you've got a heart for him and service in his kingdom. Oh, Lord, I want you to use me for your glory. That's what he wants. So here's the challenge, okay? And I'm out of time, so I will stop. I'll just quickly do the last bit, but I'll stop. But here's the challenge. And I'm going to put it really frank, okay? I'm going to really offend some people. Can I just say this? Stop opting out. Stop opting out. Stop saying, I can't do it. Because God has called every one of us to be part of his body. From the youngest to the oldest, if you're his, you're here to serve. And last thing, we're all needed by him. We're all needed by him. So, okay, you say we're all needed. We can look out and we can say, we can't look out and say Sean can do it. But look, verse 21. One morning we get up and the eye has decided it doesn't need any other hands. This is the other side of it. You see, it's not just that we go, actually we're useless, but we can look out and we can say, well, I can do everything. They're useless. And actually, God wants to challenge that as well. That's what this last bit is. You see, it's worse than verse 21. It says the head decides that he doesn't need the feet. You know, the head thinks, well, I can do all the thinking. I actually control the body anyway, so let's get rid of the feet and let's go on without the feet. Well, of course, very quickly, of course, the head realizes that it doesn't get anywhere without the feet, and he's done something terribly wrong. We can so often do that in the church, can't we? We look out at people and we give up on other people in the church. Can I say, God brings into church wrecks. He brings into church wrecks. That is the qualification of being a Christian. The qualification of being a Christian is realizing that there is nothing good in me and there's nothing I can do and that only Christ can do anything with me. We all come in as wrecks. It says there's two kinds of people who look at houses. I don't know if you've gone to look for a new house. There's two kinds of people. There's the kind of people who walk into a wreck and they go, this is a wreck, I don't want it. And the kind of people who walk into the wreck and go, this is a wreck, what incredible potential. And God's church should be filled with people who go and say, these people are wrecks. What amazing potential. Because that's what God has got to do with us. So no more looking around and saying, why has God brought them in the church? Or I don't like them. I don't like the way they smell, sniff, or whatever it might be. No more doing that. Actually, the whole point is we're looking out for one another and going, God has brought them in. What a wreck. Oh, but what potential. Oh, and if we could see that, then we would be, wouldn't we? Constantly encouraging one another in the Lord. to get going for him, to get into his word, to get passionate with prayer, to get alongside ministries in the church. And you know, there's so many things that need to be done in the church. We're constantly looking for people to do things in the church, and we're constantly asking people, and people are constantly saying to going away and praying, coming back and saying no, and that might be God leading you. I've got that, it might be, but actually it might be that you're not actually listening to God at all. So can I ask you this morning to really go away and to pray about this and say, Lord, you've made me part of the body. Or if you're visiting here, go back to your home church and say, Lord, you've made me part of this body. What have you got for me to do here? How am I going to serve you so that your kingdom might come in this place? And may God bless us each one as we seek to serve him with all our hearts.